greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee kurup, guten tak, jao, wee viva, kat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace. Now, go vegan. Peace. How? Go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Killitary Industrial Corp Nation in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster-bankrupt, corruptocracy-mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella-worthy, Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, broadcasting for 11 years now, as heard on Air America, and coming to you today as part of the summer grand opening celebration of the largest vegan grocery store in the world, Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga, California, the Inland Empire, at 9456 Roberts Street. If you happen to be in Southern California, head on over here. It's like a tourist attraction, you know. I mean, thousands of items, everything vegan. And it's over in Rancho, right by Baseline where the 7-Eleven is and the bike path cross. So great to be with you on KCAA in Southern California, KCAA AM 1050, KCAARadio.com, where video is available. And in Northern California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, where we've been on about a decade now, we are on 1450 KEST. Sundays at 4 p.m. And it's great to have you with us today. I need some water, actually. Yes. You'll see, this is so valuable. Precious resource, water. And not too long from now, if you have a bottle like this, you're going to need a security guard by your side. Excuse my voice. I've been at circus protests the last few days, and using the megaphone. This time around, I didn't get arrested, but I do have my lawsuit against the city of Anaheim for an illegal, unconstitutional arrest when I did use my megaphone at a circus protest. So, anyway, in terms of water, though, I mean, right now we've been having well above normal temperatures throughout much of the country, east of the Rockies, beneath the core of a ridge of very high pressure, which is dominating weather conditions in the U.S. Hot, dry weather has been really baking the central and southern plains. So the USDA reported that 55% of the nation's pasture and rangeland is in poor to very poor condition, which is an all-time record. 1,369 counties across 31 states in the U.S. have been declared drought disaster areas. The worst drought in 50 years right now. Over two dozen large wildfires have been burning this past week, mostly in the western United States with others in the plains. It was reported that over 90% of the topsoil was short or very short of moisture in Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Indiana, Oklahoma, and Ohio, and 99% in Missouri and Illinois, and over 80% of pasture and rangeland was in poor or very poor condition in Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, Indiana, and Illinois. Soybean, corn, alfalfa, and sorghum crops are failing. The first 6 months of 2012 have been the hottest ever recorded in the U.S. In June, 164 all-time high temperature records were tied or broken across the country. More than 40,000 daily heat records have been set so far this year. And as ponds are evaporating into nothingness and wells are failing in several states, 75% or more of pasture and rangeland has been rated as poor or very poor because of drought conditions in California, Nevada, New Mexico, and Colorado. Again, the worst drought in 50 years. The 2,300-mile-long Mississippi River is at very low levels. This past winter was the warmest and driest ever in the western United States. So then, what conclusions can you draw from all of this? What do you think is happening? Well, that's right. Production and consumption of meat, dairy, poultry, and eggs are creating hell on earth. Mother Nature is very unhappy that you eat flesh, I guess you call meat. Mother Nature is very upset that you you eat cow's milk ice cream and drink cow's milk. Mother Nature is very upset that you eat scrambled eggs. So now you've got to feel the heat. You've got to go from the frying pan into the fire. Robert Goodland and Jeff Anhang, two highly respected environmental analysts at the World Bank, have concluded that animal agriculture is responsible for 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions, and methane produced by cows is over 70% more toxic than carbon. Meat and dairy, poultry and eggs are creating hell on earth. Meteorologist Greg Carbon of the National Weather Service says that early summer heat waves following above normal temperatures in spring and winter are consistent with expectations for a warming climate. So meat, dairy, fish, poultry, and eggs creating hell on earth are obviously the diet of the devil, huh? The true axes of evil. McDevils and Murder King, Wendy's and Kills Jr., Jack the Ripper in a Box, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and Up Chuck E. Cheese, the true axes of evil. McDevils leading the pack, creating hell on earth. Hell on earth for the animals, hell on earth for the environment, and hell for your health, heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, living hell. We just can't really afford the devil's diet anymore, can we? I mean, you know, and, you know, for those who, want to contribute to, want to continue chomping on decomposing body parts of chickens, cows, and pigs, and those cadavers and the trans species mammary secretions. If you want to continue that, the prices are going to be going up, up, up because of the drought. And pretty soon, like I said, you're going to need a security guard when you're walking, with that gallon jug of water. And the Stockholm Water Institute has estimated that a pound of beef requires 8,500 gallons of water. So when you have that gallon jug of water, pour it down the drain every day for about 22 years, and there's your pound of beef. Can we really afford that now in a drought-stricken world with water such a precious resource? Where the Stockholm Water Institute, again in a report to the United Nations, says that a vegan requires 10,000 gallons of water to grow his or her food in a year, and a meat eater requires how many? 320,000 gallons. So you save over 300,000 gallons of water by being vegan over a meat eater, or we feed 32 vegans to one meat eater. How selfish can we be? I think the idea is now, we don't really want hell on earth. And if you are feeling the heat, it's time to go vegan. I intend to make the animal rights conference happening next weekend. I intend to make some of the people there feel the heat of, I consider the animal rights movement going in the wrong direction. Some very serious things are happening where I feel like the, butchers, the meat industry have infiltrated the animal rights movement and actually hijacked much of it. And coming up on today's program, an interview with Leslie Armstrong. She has done a lot of research into this very subject. You're going to find it very interesting as we go into the Animal Rights Conference next week. Leslie Armstrong, a blogger, her blog, Animal Rights Ruminations, and she owns the Plant Restaurant in Asheville, North Carolina. She's coming up next in an interview we recorded a few days ago, so if you see me sitting here, you hear me talking and my mouth's not moving. It's not an exercise in ventriloquism. We recorded the interview a few days ago. Please support the program with a tax-deductible donation. You can donate online. Please go click on donate at goveganradio.com. Thanks.
Your support of the International Fund for Africa goes to direct aid for human babies and animals in need in Africa. Compassion for all beings is exemplified by the work of the International Fund for Africa, delivering critically needed medical services from the introduction of neonatal care in Ethiopia to the Homeless Animals Project for dogs, from the Rural Health and Development Project to the Veterinary Medicine Hospital Project, and promoting veganism as the best way to help people, animals, and the environment of Africa, the International Fund for Africa is leading the way. Its dynamic president, Dr. Antenna Roba, is a Houston emergency room physician who sees the deadly health effects of the standard African-American diet of animal products, and then goes home to Africa to witness the deadly environmental effects of the standard African-American diet there, as meat and dairy-based climate change devastates the continent. The message from the International Fund for Africa is, go vegan, Africa. No GMOs, no factory farms. Find out how you can help the International Fund for Africa help people and animals in Africa. Visit iFundAfrica.org. Stop starvation. Save the environment. Visit iFundAfrica.org. Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special place, no meat, dairy, fish, or eggs in San Jose. Experience Vegetarian House, 100% organic vegan restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. A favorite fine dining establishment since 1994, featuring a spectacular international menu embracing the cuisines of China, India, Thailand, Vietnam, the Middle East, Europe, and the Americas. Appetizers, soups, salads, entrees, and desserts that you simply must experience. Enjoy freshly squeezed organic fruit and vegetable juices. Committed to your fine dining experience, your health, compassion for animals, and the environment, Vegetarian House is powered by rooftop solar panels. Waste is composted or recycled when possible, and all to-go packaging can be composted or is biodegradable. The cuisine at Vegetarian House is GMO-free and organic. See the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. Experience one of the world's best 100% vegan organic restaurants. You'll love the bakery items. Raw desserts are available too. Have your next event catered by Vegetarian House. Whether you need power box lunches or it's a full banquet, call 408-292-3798. Vegetarian House. Now you know the way to eat in San Jose. 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. VegetarianHouse.us. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden would like to express its appreciation to Vegetarian House for its ongoing sponsorship of our radio program. To advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products, email bob@goveganradio.com. RecipeFactory.net. Create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. Visit RecipeFactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones. Customize to use or avoid specific ingredients. Meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budgetary requirements. Check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load. Create food and meal substitutes, upload your recipes, and download others. Visit RecipeFactory.net. Create at RecipeFactory.net.
KCAA Radio, AM 1050. Hey, tell a friend, AM 1050.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, broadcasting now for 11 years as heard on Air America. Also now you can, you can hear us everywhere and talk stream live, and now there are apps, such as Stitcher,
A lot of talk radios available in GM and Ford cars and iPhones and tablets and Androids. You can go to Stitcher.com/govegan. Stitcher.com/govegan. So you can take us wherever you go. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Next week I'm going to the Animal Rights Conference just outside of Washington, D.C., for the purpose, oddly enough, of protesting against the animal rights movement. A lot of people are concerned about the direction of animal rights right now, one of whom is Leslie Armstrong. She writes the blog Animal Rights Ruminations. She's been an animal rights activist and advocate for close to two decades now, and she is the owner of a vegan restaurant in Asheville, North Carolina, called The Plant. And she wrote in June very extensively on the subject. I'm under the belief that the animal rights movement is being infiltrated and hijacked by the meat industry, led by the butchers of the Humane Society of the United States. And let's look into the subject matter here on the direction of the animal rights movement. And Leslie, you've worked with a number of local groups, and you worked with PETA. Welcome to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And how are you today?
Well, thank you, Bob. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show with you, and I appreciate all of your work that you do for the animals. I'm doing fine. I'm glad to have a chance to talk with you about all this today. It's an important subject.
Mm-hmm. And what I mean, you started off in animal advocacy, probably working, getting direction from the larger groups and passing out their literature. And what made you look more critically at the movement?
Well, you're right. That's exactly what I did when I first started. I was in Greenville, South Carolina, which was not exactly a hotbed of animal rights going on. So I really did depend, this was almost 20 years ago, I really did depend on the large groups to give me direction, and I did use their literature, and I did volunteer for them with different things that they asked me to do. And I kept doing that through the years, worked on my own. I actually was an employee of PETA for a couple of years. I volunteered when I moved to Asheville for the local representative for Mercy for Animals. She would do tabling events, and I would work at her table. You know, just did a variety of things. And I actually worked for a local Asheville animal rights group, and we did tabling. I guess it was about the time I moved to Asheville, about almost 8 years ago, I started noticing that when I would do tabling events, people would come up to me and they'd see what I was doing, promoting a vegan diet and promoting animal rights, and they would say, oh, don't worry, I only eat happy meat. I only eat cage-free eggs or free-range beef. And I would try to explain to them that there was no such thing, but it just kept happening over and over again. And
that happens to me all it happens to me all the time. I hear that humane, cage-free, free-range, organic, grass-fed, local, and now we have enriched colony, you know, enriched colony housing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And humane slaughter.
Yes, even humane slaughter. I know. What an oxymoron, huh? And it just kept happening, and then I started noticing little by little that not just HSUS, but Mercy for Animals and Farm Sanctuary were becoming very confusing and very contradictory in their statements, more so Mercy for Animals and Farm Sanctuary. They would say on one page of their website, you know, go vegan, eat a vegan diet, and then on the next page they'd say, we're so excited that Burger King is selling, you know, cage-free eggs, or they're only getting their eggs from farms that use cage-free methods. And it just was sending out this message that confusing to people who were looking to them for advice and guidance and for a moral certainty. I excluded HSUS from my last comment because we should all know, I don't think all animal rights advocates know, but we should all know that It is not an animal rights organization. It has always been a welfare organization, and it used to do, you know, more dog and cat type issues. And actually, what I wish is that it had never jumped on the farmed animal issue. Because if they had just stuck with working on trying to get stronger laws against penalties for dog fighting or cockfighting, if they had just stuck with trying to stop and end the hunting of the baby seals, okay, fine. Let them have their tiny little areas where they really did try to stop an activity, not just make it supposedly less cruel or more humane, but to actually stop activities. But they decided to jump on the farmed animal issue, and that to me was kind of the beginning of the end, because all the other groups kind of fell in line behind them with this humane nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and oddly enough, the Humane Society of the United States is one of the highlighted speakers at the Animal Rights Conference coming up next week. I've seen Wayne Pacelli on the Discovery Channel on a video where the overriding question is, would being vegan help animals? And he made it seem so difficult to be vegan. He said, no, you know, there's no need to be paralyzed by this regimen. It's, you know, if you just eat the right animal products, you know, and I, you know, my head practically explodes when I hear that.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm in the airport, and I'm trying to stay out of everybody's way here as we talk.
Right.
You're right. I've seen that video also, and he's done it on the Wayne's done it on the Ellen Show. He's done it in magazine articles saying, "Oh, we're not an anti-meat organization, and we like animal farmers." He just goes on and on with this, and he also. When he speaks about diet, he throws out several different ways in which people can help the animals. One way is to eat what he calls higher quality animal products, you know, cage-free and so forth. And then he says you can eat fewer animals or you can go vegan. And he acts like all three ways are just as beneficial. To do, which of course is ridiculous.
I've never really heard him suggest the going vegan part.
He will in certain circumstances. You're right. He doesn't do it in a on television. Like he doesn't do it when he's on national television, or he didn't do it on the Ellen Show. But he's done it on the website. You know, the three R's of humane eating is what they call it on their website. He's done it there, and it's not really easy to find on their website. Even anything about vegetarianism is not easily found. You have to really look for it. It's not out there. Meat Free Mondays is a little bit more out there in their website, but anything about a vegan diet.
Go ahead.
What
I'm seeing more and more is that the Humane Society of the United States, when I call them butchers, people get upset with me like I'm insulting the Humane Society, when actually I think I'm just referring to their occupations, because really they are partners with United Egg Producers, with Wolfgang Puck, with the Nebraska Farmers Union. They have a pig farmer director. I mean, what's going on there?
Well, yeah, that has to, I mean, anyone who was staying loyal to the Humane Society of the United States had to sit up and take notice when they hired Joe Maxwell, who sends thousands of pigs to their death every single week. And he, you're right, he's another one who goes on videos, speaking to, you know, the different farm councils where he goes out and talks to everyone. And he's like, no worries, HSUS is not a vegan organization. We, you know, every holiday we roast a big pig, and, you know, very clear about that. So, you know, as I'm sure your parents told you, my parents told me, you're judged by the company you keep, and you just talked about the different people that keep company with, Wolfgang Puck and Nicolette Neiman of Neiman Ranch, you know, the farmer who raises and kills all those animals, and John Mackey, who runs Whole Foods, the largest purveyor of animal products there is. He's on their board. He's on their board of directors.
Mm-hmm. So calling the Humane Society of the United States butchers is actually an accurate description, it seems. And something that's really bothersome right now is the relationship with United Egg Producers. And I heard by the way, we did mention Wolfgang Puck. People should go look at Raising the Bar on YouTube. It's a conversation with Wayne Pacelli, Wolfgang Puck, and Paul Shapiro of HSUS. It's quite nauseating how we've really moved away from the true ethic here of wanting to liberate animals by eliminating consumer demand rather than Wolfgang Puck coming on and sitting with them and saying, well, you know, we can't have foie gras anymore, but at least now I can make pate out of cage-free chicken livers, you know? I mean, it's very, very bizarre, but
It's surreal.
Yes, it really is. And now this relationship with United Egg Producers, and listening to Gene Gregory of United Egg Producers saying that the egg industry has set the agenda. We see advertisements with the HSUS logo and the egg industry logo. And suddenly there's this complete turnaround with the acceptance of what are called enriched colony enriched colony housing. It almost sounds like you would want to move into that. But this is a complete turnaround. They used to say that these cages were unacceptably cruel.
Oh, sure. There was a big, gigantic report that they did that said that exact same thing, that was completely unacceptable. And, you know, Paul Shapiro in the past has said, and actually on HSUS website, they document that you know, that these facilities are still very cruel and that the hens are still debeaked and baby male hens are killed in the beginning because they're of no use in the egg industry. So they, you know, in some little parts of the website they say that. And like you said, there was a big report a few years ago about how enriched housing was horribly cruel and did not meet the needs of the hens in any way, shape, or form. And now all of a sudden it's fine. And the UEP, about 4 years ago, HSUS just really raised Cain about the UEP because they said they were price fixing and that they were disreputable and they were, you know, hurting the animals and hurting the consumers and just thought they were just a group that was despicable. And now they're best friends. You see Wayne doing interviews with, you know, the officials there, like the best buddies.
Mm-hmm. Right. They are doing the videos together, and the legislation was introduced by Dianne Feinstein in the Senate. She's no friend to animals, and she said that the egg industry and Humane Society are lockstep on this. And what this does is give really ensures the profitability of the egg industry. Gene Gregory says there won't be any more lawsuits or undercover videos. I mean, it's really, this is happening. How can this be happening?
Well, the two reasons why I think it's happening is that regarding the Humane Society of the United States, most of their members are not vegan, so they don't want to insult or chase away their dues-paying members and their donors. And I think also they like to get these so-called victories so they can fundraise off of them. Look at us. We're reaching an agreement. This is, you know, when you go through and look at their news releases about getting Burger King or one of the other fast food groups to only use cage-free eggs, they call it a victory. Isn't this wonderful? Look at what we've been able to accomplish. Send us more money. We'll keep doing this. And so they like the victory. They like the seat at the table, and it's nefarious. I mean, there's something going on here that is not what it's supposed to be. And I just want supporters and donors and animal advocates to understand what's going on and to see that these big organizations are hurting our efforts. You and I talked about this yesterday, Bob. We go out there as individual grassroots activists, and we try to explain to people that we don't need to eat animals. It's a moral issue. It's a social justice issue. And just speak to them very respectfully and honestly about the situation. And then they're hearing from HSUS and even some of the other large groups like Mercy for Animals, hey, isn't this wonderful? Cage-free eggs, free-range chickens, and they're confused. Mm-hmm. So it's hurting our efforts, our vegan abolition efforts.
Right.
And it's you know, the wrong way to be doing this.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a break. We will continue our discussion with Leslie Armstrong. We're examining the animal rights movement and where it is going wrong as we come up on the Animal Rights Conference next weekend in Alexandria, Virginia. I'm going there, and I'm going to protest against the conference and a number of these organizations. I think that the truth needs to be told, and you're not getting it from them right now. So we'll continue. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and we are listener-supported. We purchase airtime every week to be on the air. So if you can make a tax-deductible donation at goveganradio.com, you can be sure that it won't be paying the salary of a pig farmer on our staff. we'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden.
For as long as I can remember, I've been locked in this crowded, filthy cage, constant abuse, deprivation, and suffering. Painful metal floor I can barely stand on, day after day, month after month. This is my entire life. I thought we'd be in here forever. But then, something great happened. People began to take a stand for us. They started voting to get us out of cages entirely. The promise of a cage-free life. To no longer be trapped in a cage. But now, that promise is in danger of being broken. The egg industry is pushing federal legislation that would trade one cruel metal cage for another. And their bill could never be challenged or changed by state law or public vote. Even though most people want us out of cages. If we let the egg factories win, we'll never get out.
We'll never get out. Keep the promise. Take action. Visit StopTheRottenEggBill.org. Fight the egg industry's plan to keep hens locked away in cages forever.
Animals and the Afterlife. It's the heartwarming book from author, animal lover, and animal communicator Kim Sheridan. Visit animalsandtheafterlife.com. Do animals have souls? What happens when they die? This book offers some amazing answers. Animals and the Afterlife provides comfort for anyone who has ever loved and lost an animal, and food for thought for anyone who has ever questioned the place of animals in the larger scheme of things. Read about Kim's experiences and the experiences of people around the world in Animals and the Afterlife, Forward Magazine's Book of the Year award winner. See more about author Kim Sheridan at kimsheridan.com, her other books, films, and compassionate projects. And learn more about this amazing book and order it at animalsandtheafterlife.com.
With over 200 restaurants around the globe, Loving Hut is the largest chain of independently owned vegan restaurants worldwide. The first one in North America is in Milpitas, California, at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford University students and faculty enjoy Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. There are three Loving Hut locations in San Francisco, one in Elk Grove and one in San Jose. For the Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. You'll find Loving Hut restaurants throughout Southern California, too. And in the Inland Empire, there's a Loving Hut in Claremont and in Upland. Many of the goodies at Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga are from the bakery at Loving Hut Upland. The people at Loving Hut are on a mission to save your health, save the animals, and save the planet from climate change and other environmental disasters caused by meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption. Who knew that saving the planet would be so delicious? Save the planet. Eat at Loving Hut.
Get all the facts, all you need to know, on KCAA Radio, AM 1050.
We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And you can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me, it's Bob, at goveganradio.com. Today we're talking to Leslie Armstrong, an animal rights activist for nearly 20 years. She owns a vegan restaurant in Asheville, North Carolina, called Plant Restaurant. And we are both very concerned about the direction in which the animal rights movement is headed, especially right now. What has happened is an unbelievable reversal, especially related to the caging of chickens. The Humane Society of the United States and Farm Sanctuary wrote extensively against enriched colony cages, saying that they were unacceptably cruel. And then for some inexplicable reason, Wayne Pacelli suddenly likes them. Gene Gregory of United Egg Producers says Wayne Pacelli got on the phone with all the other major animal activist organizations and told them to leave the egg industry alone and support this legislation. And now, Leslie, we see not only HSUS and Farm Sanctuary compromised, Mercy for Animals, In Defense of Animals, Compassion Over Killing, the ASPCA, yeah, the Animal Legal Defense Fund, and of all people, FARM, the Farm Animal Rights Movement, and the Animal Rights Conference 2012 have gone in this direction.
Yes. As you know, Bob, last year at the Animal Rights Conference, the director and president of FARM, who runs the conference, Alex Hirschaft, gave an impassioned speech about why these welfare campaigns were hurting the movement and were not helpful and should not be done, and resources should not be wasted on them. And just a few weeks ago, he completely flip-flopped and now is saying, oh, well, I support, well, actually, it's kind of all about semantics. He was addressing the issue of this UET-HSUS agreement on the legislation, and it's interesting. He says FARM publicly fell, but FARM is not a supporter of the bill. Now, I don't really understand the difference between that, but he now says that he favors the bill, that he thinks that what he thinks is that this legislation will make sure that eggs cost more, so fewer eggs will be sold and fewer hens will be in the system. But HSUS actually did a report that, because they were trying to encourage the industry to go with this plan, and they said that it's really not going to cost the industry any more to raise hens under this legislation. So that makes no sense. It's all double speak and nonsense.
Yeah, I see that Gene Gregory said it might cost maybe a penny and a half per dozen eggs, but then you're creating this, you know, this niche industry that people who would normally go vegan will instead say, oh, well, I'll just buy eggs from enriched colony hens. Still, it doesn't eliminate those cages that are even more packed. But here we're still looking at cages that have 60 to 90 hens. But so some of the objections I get to what I'm doing, though, Leslie, are, for example, well, we're an abolitionist, like from Mercy for Animals. We're for abolition, but, you know, we need to do things incrementally. We need to take baby steps, first steps.
Right. And what they say is, don't you want to help the animals suffer less in the meantime until we get to abolition? And my response to that is, Of course, none of us want to see animals suffer at all, but these campaigns, I don't trust that they actually do anything to help the animals suffer less. Number one, all of these, if you read about these fast food restaurant chains and the other groups that say, oh, we're going to do cage-free eggs, for example, they always say, we're going to figure out a way sometime in the future to transition over to cage-free eggs. And, you know, who knows what that means? And then even if they do that, who's monitoring that? And with these pieces of legislation like Prop 2 in California and this UEP HSUS one, who's monitoring that? And they're also vague. The definitions are vague. The provisions are vague. And we have learned through the years, and even Wayne Pacelli has written, and you can find links on my blog to all the places where he has said that the USDA, which does all these inspections, if it's a federal law, that they have an unholy alliance with the ag industry and they're not to be trusted. They don't enforce the law. So why even work on these laws if we don't believe that they will actually do anything to help the animals? And even if they did, they won't be enforced.
Trusting animal rights people are depending upon the kindness of the people who massacre chickens.
Right. As a matter of fact, USDA, their budget is so strained that they've actually proposed a program where people who slaughter chickens, the slaughterhouses for chickens, that they inspect their own slaughterhouses. Don't have to do it because they don't have enough inspectors. So, you know, they're understaffed. They don't have a big enough budget to do what they're supposed to do to begin with, and you're going to expect them to go out there and do anything else. And all the state ag department officials are buddies with the animal farmers. In North Carolina, where I live, not too long ago, there was a poultry farm that was suspected of really egregious animal cruelty, and there was going to be a raid on the farm. The State Department of Ag official called the farmer and warned him that this raid was going to happen so he could try to clean things up. So that's the alliance between the state ag departments. Mm-hmm. And it goes on all the time. I've heard all kinds of stories about different states that happens in.
And no criminal penalties with this egg bill,
right?
Anyway. And, you know, it's just a very bizarre direction in which we're headed. And people will all often say to me, oh, well, if you could just have one more inch of space, if you were in the cage, wouldn't you want one more inch? Or, you know, and then we look at the video of the enriched cages and they say, well, actually some of the enrichments are taking up more space. There's less room and the hens are piling on each other. Now, some of the outrages and tell us your blog, what your blog is, so people can go look, and especially at your June blog that really does the extensive research on this.
It's Animal Rights Ruminations. Well, Google it, because it's easier just to remember what to Google than to get the address. But Animal Rights Ruminations, Leslie Armstrong, Wrong Direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's the title of that initial blog. It says what it is, so that's kind of easy to remember, Wrong Direction.
Wrong Direction, and that it is. I mean, in a way, there's like a who's who of people we thought we could trust in the animal rights movement, and then we look at, for example, the ASPCA takes people's donations and just gave over $150,000 to a chicken and turkey farmer in Kansas to build a barn so he can produce 600,000 more birds a year. Is that where we want our animal rights money going and attention?
Right. ASPCA gives that much money. And do you know who is administering that grant? It's Farm Forward, which is an organization that supposedly supports humane farming. And Bruce Friedrich, who I used to think I could trust as a true animal rights person. He used to work for PETA. He worked on farm issues at PETA, and now he works on farm issues at Farm Sanctuary. He sits on the board of Farm Forward, which, you know, has on their board ranchers and farmers and animal product purveyors. So he's one of those ones that we thought we could trust, as was Paul Shapiro, who, when he worked at Compassion Over Killing, he founded Compassion Over Killing, and the name of the magazine, when he founded the magazine, the organization, was called The Abolitionist. They changed it several years ago to Compassionate Action, which I see is very symbolic of where everybody's going. You know, let's be compassionate. Let's give bigger, let's give that inch more space, but let's not talk abolition, you know. We're not going to talk about that.
Well, why don't you talk about abolition versus what's going on a little bit, because Mercy for Animals, in its argument with me, Matt Rice at Mercy for Animals was arguing with me a bit on Facebook before I got banned from all the Facebook pages of these groups.
Badge of honor, huh, Bob?
I guess so. Matt said to me, you know, we're for abolition, yet aren't their actions now in supporting these cages, these battery cages, that would prevent abolition forever?
Well, I think so. I think that, you know, what we're doing by doing these welfare campaigns is we're muddying the message, and we're distorting the message, and we're taking the integrity out of the message. And I've heard from some of the people who work for HSUS and some of the other groups that the public can't handle the truth. That if you do these props, if you work on Prop 2 or the federal legislation, UEP legislation, if you work on those issues, those are safer topics, and the public will listen to those, and it will get them to start thinking about where their food comes from, and they'll eventually go vegan. Well, that is complete BS. What happens is people, just like you said earlier in the conversation, what happens is people feel more comfortable eating animals, and I'm sure you've heard that. I've heard that from so many people.
Every day. Every day I hear that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I used to be vegetarian.
Whoops. Lucy, there? Are you there?
10 years that are about that exact same fact, that former vegetarians...
We lost you there for a second. You started to say, I used to be vegetarian, right?
That's what so many people have told me when I do tabling events. Don't worry about it. I used to be vegetarian, but it's fine because I only eat animals from my local farm, you know, from the organic, the humanely raised animals. And in my blog piece, I list and link people to about 20 articles about this issue where former vegetarians are now eating animals again because they feel comfortable that they can do so with a clear conscience because, they're hearing the HSUS actually puts their stamp of approval on some animal products. You know, Certified Humane is their label. And Whole Foods has this big, expensive, five-tier global animal partnership rating system. And so people go to Whole Foods, pay a lot of money, and think that everything's okay. And they're being told by the animal groups that it is okay. So why wouldn't they think that?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going where we need to be going. Going back to the group saying that the public can't handle the real truth and they're not going to go vegan, so we might as well not even try. All those people that I know that work for those groups that I personally know, they are ethical vegans, and they became ethical vegans because someone or somehow they learned to change their point of view, and the light bulb went off in their head. Do they not trust other individuals to be as perceptive or as caring or as smart as they are?
How condescending, they can handle, right? That's a condescending attitude to take. I wish that somebody would have come to me at an early age to point out the truth to me right now. And also, how dare we deprive people of the information that could save their families' lives and save the planet? These groups are really working against the environment now and against human health.
Of course, that's exactly right, and I'm with you. I wish someone had come to me when I was much younger than, you know, that my light bulb had gone off. And those people, the people I know personally who work at those groups, that happened to them, but they're not affording the same respect to other members of the public their supporters.
Depriving people of information. Now, I've seen Wayne Pacelli say that he's for humane slaughter. I never get an answer as to what that is, or I ask for pictures or videos. Do you know what humane slaughter is?
You know, I really don't. And if you call your local slaughterhouse and ask to go on a tour, what do you think? What do you think would happen? I don't think he'd be.
The doors are locked.
That's for sure.
Right.
Because there is no such thing. And you know, I also hear from people who buy into this welfare strategy that people aren't, just like Wayne said on Ellen and says on CNN, you know, people aren't going to stop eating meat. So we might as well teach them a way to eat in a way that is supposedly, you know, in quotes, compassionate. Well, you know, we can't control what people do with the message, but we should give out the honest, sincere message in a respectful way. Give it to them, and that maybe they will take a month to transition to being vegan. Whatever they do it, maybe they will, but we'll never get there if we give them the option, if we, you know, pat them on the head and say, don't worry, you don't have to do anything hard. Just go buy that humanely raised, you know, animal part, and it'll be okay. They'll never get there if we do that.
And I was very upset during the signature gathering phase for Prop 2 when HSUS told the signature gatherers not to mention anything about being vegan, and yet the act itself was called the Prevention of Farm Animal Cruelty Act, and don't mention anything about being vegan, the only solution to preventing farm animal cruelty. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I know, the real solution. And how much money was spent on getting Prop 2 passed in California, like $10 million? Think about what could be done with that money. Think about the massive vegan education you could do with that money. I mean, it's just really sickening to think about that. And you probably know, especially since you are in California, about the, isn't there a, an ag industry company that is bringing in the enriched cages, and they say, hey, Prop 2 does not preclude us from using cages. Prop 2 just says that the animals have to stand up, turn around, and lie down, and they can do so in these cages. So it didn't even do what
it was supposed to be, and a bird, you know, it was required that a bird be able to spread her wings and not touch another bird or the side of the cage, and yet we find out now that only meant one bird per cage at a time. You know, I mean, it's all, so are they going to take numbers or take turns, or I don't know. We have maybe a minute left. We're talking to Leslie Armstrong, and we're, looking at the word welfare bothers me, because I think that even elevates, you know, that something good is happening for the animals, and I tend to call it bad fare or ill fare in the argument of welfare versus rights or abolition, and we need to be looking at consumer demand as opposed to working on the supply side, right? I mean,
That's exactly right. You know, as you and I talked about yesterday, the animal ag people, the Neiman Ranch and the Whole Foods, if the consumer demand was not there, they'd sell more apples, they'd sell more cherries, they'd sell, you know, more whatever the demand is, they're going to sell. So we have to reduce the demand. And you're right, welfare is not a good term. I think we should use things like treatment versus usage. It's not about how we use the animals. It's about whether or not we have the right to use them, and we don't. We don't have the right to use them. It's not about how we treat them. As someone recently said to me, I don't care if you put the animals in bed, tuck them in, and read them a bedtime story. If you kill them at the end, that's morally wrong. So it really doesn't matter, and that should be our message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really simple, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why I encourage vegan animal liberation activism versus furniture for chickens in 15 or 18 years, right? So it's pretty crazy. So, Leslie Armstrong, I want to thank you for being with us today, and really all the hard work you've done, all the research. I'll send it out again on Facebook, and people can see the truth here and you know, stop supporting what's not productive for animals, and let's do the right thing and ask people to go vegan. Thanks for being with us today, Leslie.
Thanks, Bob, for all the work you do. I appreciate it. You take care.
Okay, you too.
Okay. Bye, Bob.
A grocery store that's 100% vegan, and not just that, the largest vegan grocery anywhere? It's Viva La Vegan. 9456 Roberts Street, Rancho Cucamonga. Thousands and thousands of items, everything vegan, everything cruelty-free. No animal ingredients, no animal testing. Viva la vegan grocery. Organic produce, fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds. And introducing Veganic. Want to go beyond organic? Coming soon to Viva la Vegan. Thousands of grocery items, some you won't see anywhere else. Fresh juice from the juicer at Viva la Vegan Grocery. Donuts, cupcakes, supplements, gluten-free, Viva la Vegan, raw foods, vegan dog food, household items, personal care, books, belts, shoes. They all come together at the largest vegan grocery anywhere. Great prices, friendly staff, thousands of items, everything vegan at Viva la Vegan. 9456 Roberts Street, Roberds, Rancho Cucamonga, California. 909-941-4495. Viva la Vegan. VeganGrocery.com, 909-941-4495. Viva la Vegan. Move over dairy. Make way for creamy goodness from coconut cow. Real food, real nutrition from coconut cow. Coconut yogurt, cultured, fermented, creamed coconut meat. A treat by itself or with fresh fruit. Coconut cream, a vegan's dream for baking instead of butter. It's listener-supported Go Vegan Radio, broadcasting in the Bay Area for a decade now. We are now heard on Sundays at 4 p.m. on 1450 KEST. That's KESTradio.com worldwide. And that's after the Commonwealth Club on Sundays. Please help us continue to remain on the air. You can make a tax-deductible donation by making your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. And you can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services by emailing me. It's Bob at GoVeganRadio.com. Broadcast of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House. World-class organic vegan cuisine in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Visit vegetarianhouse.us. And by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, the first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. And if you're a Stanford student or you're on faculty, your Loving Hut is at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. There are three Loving Hut locations in San Francisco, one in San Jose, one in Elk Grove. For the Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. And the website for Vegetarian House is vegetarianhouse.us. And you can have Vegetarian House cater your next event. Whether you need a power box lunch or a full banquet, call 408-292-3798. 408-292-3798. One way that you can support Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden is to listen to us on the go, on your Android, on your iPhone, on your tablet. Just go to stitcher.com/govegan and enter the promo code govegan. When you listen to a program at Stitcher, which is a San Francisco company, Go Vegan Radio receives a dollar. That is, if you go to stitcher.com/govegan, enter the promo code govegan, and listen to at least one program. Well, mark your calendar to protest Ringling Brothers in the Bay Area. Starting a week from Wednesday, August 8th at 6 p.m., at the Oakland Arena, 7000 Coliseum Way. Take the 66th Avenue exit off the 880 freeway. And the protests are at 6 p.m. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, August 8th, 9th, and 10th. Saturday, August 11th, 12:45 and 5:30 p.m. And Sunday, August 12th at 2:45 p.m. And then the immoral spectacle of animal abuse moves on to the San Jose Arena August 15th through the 19th. That's at 525 West Santa Clara Street. So when it's at the San Jose Arena, why not just go up the block to 520 East Santa Clara Street, Vegetarian House, and treat yourself over there. The circus also will be at the Stockton Arena September 13th through the 16th. And the Santa Clara County Activists for Animals presents the South Bay premiere of How I Became an Elephant, the story of a 14-year-old girl on a mission to save elephants that takes her on a journey to Southeast Asia. Juliet West, featured in the film, and film director Cynthia Sharp will be in attendance at the screening, and that is Monday, August 13th at 7 p.m. at the Blue Light Cinema 5, 21275 Stevens Creek Boulevard in Cupertino, across from De Anza College. And the suggested donation for that is $5, but no one will be turned away at the door for lack of funds. And for more information, call 408-355-0436, 408-355-0436. The 13th Annual San Francisco World Vegetarian Festival is happening. It's the 40th International Vegetarian Union, International Vegetarian Congress, at the same time, October 5th through the 8th, at San Francisco's County Fair Building in Golden Gate Park. You can visit worldvegfestival.com and visit govegandradio.com. Make a donation.